You don't have to travel to the Arctic Circle to see the snowy owl with its downy white feathers. You might just be able to spot one in your own backyard. There have been snowy owl sightings recorded up and down Lake Michigan this month, along with hot spots all around the state. Debbie Nowak is a naturalist at 1000 Island Environmental Center based in Kaukauna, Wisconsin. That's a conservancy with more than 350 acres, about 7 miles of trails. Debbie, welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. So as we begin this discussion on the snowy owl, let's get the snowy owl in our mind's eye. And first of all, let's listen to the snowy owl, and then I hope you could give us more of a physical description of what the snowy owl looks like. Let's take a listen first. Now, is that what we might hear if a snowy owl is in our presence?
So that does sound like a good snowy owl call. It's kind of a territorial call as they're on their nesting grounds. We may not hear any vocalizations as we see them in the state here. This is outside of their breeding season. So we really might not hear a lot of that communication. So you really want to look for those physical features to identify them.
What are the physical features?
So the snowy owl is, I mean, it just looks like a majestic bird. It really does. It's the largest of the North American owls we have here. So it does stand about as big as a great horned owl, even a little bit bigger, a little bit more robust. They're 3 to 6 pounds, depending on the sex, if it's a male or a female. But it is just this stark white owl. Females and young males will have some dark gray barring or stripes on them. But the really keen feature on them is they have just bright yellow eyes, gorgeous yellow eyes on them.
Mm. Why do they come here to Wisconsin in some winters?
So yeah, the snowy owl is a migratory species. They nest up in the Arctic Circle, which creates this huge just kind of mystery around them, because we don't know a lot of what happens up there on their nesting grounds. When they migrate, they're generally migrating based on food sources. So they're coming to find plentiful food as they migrate south in the winter time. And a lot of times that migration will bring them down into the northern reaches of the United States. But every once in a while, we have what's called an eruption year. And an eruption is when these owls migrate further than what is expected. In the past 4 years, we have had a number of eruptions. There was a really big one in 2013, and now 2017 is suspected to be another great eruption year. This is just when we find these owls even further south than you would expect. Back in 2013, I believe they spotted one in Florida of all places.
Mm.
So definitely, you know, migrating a little bit further.
Yeah, these owls are traveling quite a distance, over 1,000 miles in some cases. And that is such a taxing journey. What owls are taking this journey? Is it the hatchlings? Is it the older owls? Like who's making the journey?
You know, you get a mixture. A lot of times it is the hatchlings or the first-year owls that are coming down, but we have even seen returning owls that have been coming. What we're discovering is we just don't know a whole lot about snowy owls and their patterns and their behaviors. There's a really fascinating nonprofit group called Project Snowstorm. It started up in 2013. They've actually been putting GPS locators and radio transmitters on these birds so that they can study their movements. And it's really shown that there is a lot to be learned yet about their behaviors.
On these eruption years, eruption winters, do we know why there is an influx of owls coming our way?
You know, once again, that's one of the things that isn't known for sure. There's still a lot to learn. Previously, people would believe that these owls are coming further because they're starving, they can't find food. But we're finding that's often not the case. A lot of the owls that we're finding down in this area are pretty robust and healthy. What the belief is now, or the theory is now, is that when they have really good breeding seasons, so they will The number of eggs they lay really depends on their food source. If they have a banner year with lemmings up in the Arctic Circle, they might have clutches of, 11 or more eggs. And when you have a lot of those owls, they are going to press further in their migration. So we're starting to think that the years that we have the biggest migrations or the biggest eruptions is when the food source and the breeding season was the best up in the Arctic Circle.
We are talking snowy owls on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. Debbie Nowak is with us. She is a naturalist at 1000 Island Environmental Center in Kaukauna, Wisconsin. And you can join this conversation at 800-642-1234. Have you ever seen a snowy owl? How did that sighting go for you? How long did you observe it? Where did you observe it? Join in and let us know where you are seeing them at this time. 800-642-1234. Debbie, I perhaps burned an hour of work yesterday getting sucked into eBird, that online database that tracks real-time sightings. You put in snowy owl and Wisconsin, and you can see all of the hot spots around the state. What a fabulous resource.
Absolutely. Around here, we absolutely love eBird. It is a great citizen science data collection point. And then even if you're not into, going out and identifying birds, it's a great resource to find out where to see different things throughout our state.
Where are we seeing the hot spots right now for snowy owls?
Well, in order to find these great hot spots, you need to think like an owl. So snowy owls up in the Arctic Circle, they are on treeless tundras. So when they are here in the state, a lot of times they are looking for wide open areas that really mimic that tundra atmosphere. So one of the biggest hotspots would be all along Lake Michigan. They really like, hanging out along the lakeshore. Some of the data tells us that they will even go out onto, the frozen ice for days or weeks at a time, hunting in the little cracks of the ice for ducks and other waterfowl. Here in the Kaukauna area, the big agricultural fields out in the Freedom area just outside of the city here tends to be a good hot spot for them. Unfortunately, airports are also a pretty big draw for snowy owls, which of course comes into a little bit of an issue with the safety of the owls and the safety of the planes in that airport. But once again, you're going to search out those wide open spaces.
Are they territorial at all when they come our way? Do they like their own space?
They are solitary birds, but there isn't a whole lot of noticing of territorial displays. They may fight over territory a little bit, but to my knowledge, it's not a huge territorial push during their migration.
Let's bring in Jody now in Racine. Hi, Jody. Hi, Jody.
Hi, hello.
Go ahead. Have you seen a snowy owl?
The other day, 2:30 in the afternoon, walking along Samuel Myers Beach in Racine, the owl was sitting on a bridge handle. I watched him for about 15 minutes, and then somebody else walked by, and he flew off.
Mm. Wow. So did you just stop in your tracks? What did you do?
Well, it's halfway down to the beach, and I had my dog with me who didn't pay attention. So I stopped for a minute, and then I kept walking, but I was walking backwards so I could watch him, too. And he didn't do anything. He just sat there. And then when he flew off low on the water to one of the rock piers to the end of it, and he sat there for a while.
Mm. Debbie, what should we do when we spot one?
Absolutely. Take your time and observe and watch. One of the biggest things to keep in mind, though, as you mentioned, someone else walked through and kind of scared them off. That's one of the really important things to be careful of, is that you're watching from a safe distance, that you're not causing them to flush or fly off. These owls have burned excessive energy levels to migrate down here. And as you experience Wisconsin winters as well, you know, sometimes the weather can be rough. We really want to make sure not to stress them, not to make them burn through any extra energy reserves by flying away from us. So definitely watch from a distance. Watch for any stressful behaviors. If they're unsettled and kind of moving around or feeling agitated, looking agitated, that's a sign that you're a little too close. Obviously, if the bird is flushing or flying away, that's a definite too close aspect. But invest in a nice pair of binoculars or a spotting scope, telephoto lens if you have one, and really enjoy them from a distance. They're awesome, awesome birds to watch.
Jody, thanks so much for calling in. Wisconsin DNR says it looks like it's going to be a big year for snowy owl sightings, and we are exploring them on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. You can join in the conversation. Have you seen a snowy owl around you? How long was it there? How did you observe it? And did you see it again? 800-642-1234. We'll be back in just a moment. A snowy owl was found in a downtown Milwaukee parking lot during morning rush hour this week, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The owl is now in rehab for a broken toe and severe dehydration, but it's on track for a recovery. We're discussing snowy owl sightings on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. Debbie Nowak is a naturalist at 1000 Island Environmental Center that's based in Kaukauna. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you seen a snowy owl before? Where did you observe it? How did you observe it? Did you keep a respectful distance? 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go to Tom, who joins us from Cedarburg. Hi, Tom.
Morning. I have two experiences dealing with snowy owls. The first is, probably 15 years ago, I was working in downtown Milwaukee, and I was on top of an 8-story building, and it was a foggy morning about in March. You could see maybe half a block. And then I just had a sense, and above my head about 10 feet, a snowy owl flew right overhead. Mm. And because of the fog, I didn't see it until it was right above me, and that was quite a thrill. My second experience is that just a couple of years ago at work in Mequon, on top of a light pole, there was a snowy owl in broad morning daylight about 8 a.m., and it was there for about 10 minutes or so, and that was quite a sight, and I have a few pictures of that in my phone.
Oh, wow. And so you were able to get near enough to take a picture and
yeah,
document it.
Probably it's 30, 40 feet or so, I guess. In a vehicle.
Debbie, we're also yesterday, or actually a day before yesterday, there was a snowy owl that was a little bit off course during morning rush hour in Milwaukee.
Really? Awesome. So, yeah, you know, you never know quite where they're going to pop up. Where was this one in Milwaukee?
At the We Energy building parking lot. And they were able to take it into rehab. And it apparently has some high dehydration they're working on, and perhaps a broken toe or an injured foot. And they are hoping that, it said in the article, they're hoping to be able to bring it back to full recovery and then allow it to be released along Lake Michigan.
Yeah, you know, migration is really a tough thing for birds. You never quite know what hardships they're encountering as they're moving along. So there are occasions where, you know, a bird might just be dehydrated when it gets here, injuries. A lot of times you might discover that that's with the youngest of the owls that aren't quite travel weary just yet, but it really is a hard thing to be able to migrate over these long distances. We're super fortunate here in the state, though, that we have some awesome wildlife rehabilitators. They don't do it for the money, of course. They do it for, you know, protecting our wildlife here. So I have no doubt that the rehabbers down there are going to be able to get them back into tip-top shape and back out into the wild.
Tom, thanks so much for calling in with your observations. Let's go to Fern, who joins us from Burlington now. Hi, Fern.
Hi, good morning. My experience with a snowy owl, I was traveling through Iowa on my way to Nebraska to actually see the Sandhill Crane migration, and I was hiking in Winterset, who's famous for their covered bridges, and it was March, and it was a beautiful sunny day, and I'm just looking around, observing at things, and I just caught eyes with this owl who was already staring at me, and it made me stop dead in my tracks. And then I just couldn't stop staring at it, and I ended up standing there for like 30 minutes. And I remember it had, I think, very faint grayish kind of spotting on its chest area. And it was so big and tall in this tree that it was in. It wasn't a tree, so I hope it was a snowy owl. But someone walked by, and when this bird took off, the wingspan was huge, and it didn't make a sound as it flew. It was absolutely incredible. But my question about snowy owls is, I'm pretty sure snowy owls are, all owls are really good predators. So what kind of predators might they encounter?
Good question. So on their nesting grounds up in the, you know, the frozen tundra up there, there are, you know, the Arctic wolves, foxes, even polar bears can be a predator of the owl. Down here in their wintering grounds, I hate to say it, but the human is probably the biggest threat for the owls. And, you know, not necessarily people out there hunting them, but just the threats that they face because of humans, whether that's electrocution from power lines, collisions with planes or automobiles, even poisoning, people putting out rat poison to take care of, you know, those pests. That poison can stay within an animal long enough for that owl to eat it. And then, you know, that owl is poisoned by that rodenticide. So humans, I would definitely put at the top of the, you know, predator list for snowy owls here on their wintering grounds.
Well, Fern, thank you so much for joining us. Let's go to Brian now, who is in Superior. Hi, Brian.
Yeah, I'm lucky enough to live right next to Lake Superior.
You sure are.
My family and I and the dog, we go out to Wisconsin Point all the time, which is like a six-mile-long sandbar, a couple hundred yards wide that goes out into the lake. And this spring, as ice out, I found the remains of a snowy owl. The thorax is pretty much gone, but a lot of white feathers and these giant claws that were there. And it was there for several days, and I'm not sure what happened, you know, that did it. You know, we have a lot of grain elevators, shipping, and that kind of thing, so there's a lot of rodents around that. And I've seen snowy owls in the area, in Duluth and around Superior occasionally. But it was the first time I got that close to what was the snowy owl.
Wow.
Brian, thank you so much for calling in. And is that right, Debbie, that snowy owls would also probably be attracted to Lake Superior as well as Lake Michigan?
Absolutely. Yep. Once again, it's that wide open area. We have seen evidence of them hunting for ducks out on the frozen water, even in the wintertime. As a naturalist, you know, everybody gets sad when they hear about a dead owl, but, you know, even as a naturalist, you think, well, what can we learn from that owl that's already died? Certainly if anybody came across an owl, whether it's live or not, a live owl, certainly report it to that eBird so we can keep track of, you know, numbers and where they are. But even if you find a dead snowy owl out there, give a call to your local DNR service center and see if someone would be interested in collecting it or allowing you to bring it in. Sometimes we can learn things from these owls after they've already died. Certainly check for any levels of poison, contamination, that sort of thing. But they can do a necropsy, maybe figure out what happened to it. So we like to know the good stuff as well as the bad stuff. It all just helps us learn more about the species.
Let's go to Liz now in Hartford. Hi, Liz.
Good morning. About 3 years ago, and I apologize for my raspy voice this morning, but about 3 years ago, I was shoveling snow about 10 o'clock in the morning, and a snowy owl landed on the shed in my yard about 50 feet away from me. And I kept shoveling about another half an hour. And I went in the house and I grabbed raw chicken, fryer chicken that I was going to roast that night, and threw it out in the snow, and a bowl of warm water, and I set that in the parking lot, my driveway that I just got done shoveling, and about a half an hour went past, and it came and grabbed the chicken, and then an hour later, I moved the water bowl out into the snow, and it came back and drank from that.
Oh, my goodness. Debbie, what about putting food out for snowy owls?
You know, I respect your interest in the owls and you're wanting to help them. That's awesome. I wish we had more people out there that really were thinking about the welfare of our wildlife. However, we do encourage people to make sure to not feed the owls. This goes really for the majority of wildlife. In some scenarios, what you're feeding could potentially have diseases or something like that that could pass on to the owl. Obviously, if it was food you were going to eat, it's probably fairly safe. But the other aspect we have to think of is how the owls view humans. A lot of times, these owls up in the Arctic Circle, they come down, they have no clue what a human is, what a car is, what a plane is. And we really want to make sure that they aren't associating humans with food. That can form a sort of dependency on people for food, and it can affect their normal behaviors. So although, once again, I applaud your interest in wanting to help them, it is usually best just to let them find their own food. They are awesome, awesome hunters. They'll take care of, you know, the mice and other rodents in your area so that you don't have to deal with them.
Liz, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your observations. You too can call in at 800-642-1234. What do you love about the snowy owl? What do you want to know about these owls? Join in with your question or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page or with naturalist Debbie Nowak. Debbie, these owls love to soar, I understand. You know, as we've been hearing from callers, just this enormous presence, this wingspan. What do we know about how they take flight and in terms of soaring during the daytime?
Well, so they are definitely a very large bird. Once again, the largest owl that we have here in North America. Wingspan can be 5 feet or more. So really good sized birds. Okay. One of the most fascinating things about owls in general, including the snowy owl, is that they are adapted for silent flight. So a lot of times these owls on their flight feathers, on their wings, they have what's called a fringed edge to the wing. So instead of a straight line at the edge of that feather, it's really jagged, almost like there is fringing on that edge. And what that does is as it flies, it cuts through the air much, much quieter so that they are able to really fly quietly, be able to sneak up on prey. It's really kind of one of those cool adaptations that owls have.
And speaking of sounds, let's go back to the snowy owl sounds. We have a second clip of a snowy owl, and we're wondering what is happening here in this sound, if you can kind of help us understand what's going on. Let's take a listen. Is there some communication going on?
So obviously that's a lot different than that first sound that you played at the start here. So owls, as well as a lot of other birds, will have multiple vocalizations that they do. The first one, the standard kind of hoot sound, is a little bit more of a territorial call. The sound that you played there sounds a little bit more like an alarm call. So if there is danger, a predator around, an owl may make that sound, just vocalizing that danger.
Mm. Kenneth in Janesville called in to ask, he's wondering about spotting snowy owls during the day. He asks, are they nocturnal? Will they hide during daylight?
All right. So snowy owls are considered a diurnal species, so active during the daytime. If you think of their nesting territory, it would make sense. Arctic Circle in the summertime is constant daylight. So it is very common and very easy to see them out in the daytime here, especially when you consider they're not a tree species like a lot of our other owls. They're not, you know, hiding, blending in the camouflage by those trees. So definitely very common to see them out during the daytime. However, certain data that's been collected shows that while they're on their wintering grounds, they do turn into be a little bit of a nocturnal hunter. So they do go out at nighttime searching for food. And a lot of times when we see them during the day, they're in a resting phase. So they're perched on a silo or a phone pole or a hay bale. And they're just kind of stationary and resting because they might have spent the whole evening out hunting for food.
Let's go to Joy now, who joins us from Minocqua. Hi, Joy.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was living up in Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin, and I was driving down a small dirt road with my friend Terry, and it was at night. And as we were driving in, we saw something was coming at us, and we realized it was a snowy owl. And it came right towards us and then went right up and over our pickup truck. It was amazing. The wingspan took over almost the whole road.
Oh, my goodness.
It was like National Geographic's Live.
You must have really started to slam on your brakes or slow down. That probably got your heart pumping.
Yeah, well, it was a skinny dirt road going into the swamp, so we were going slow anyway. So,
oh, wow.
It was incredible. And incredible. I'll never forget it.
This is up around Sturgeon Bay, you said?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Have you seen any other since?
No, I have not, just because I haven't lived in Sturgeon Bay for a long time.
Okay.
And actually, I am from Colorado right now, and I just am here working on my dad's house. So.
Well, Joy,
I just wanted to put that back.
Yeah,
because I'll never forget it. It was actually quite a while ago that I saw that, but it was the most amazing thing. It was so beautiful, and the way it came right straight down and right at us and up and over the truck, it was amazing.
It was in complete control, apparently. Debbie, what about drivers and snowy owls?
Well, like everything in the state, you always have to be careful of wildlife out and about. So just, you know, keep an eye out. Hopefully you're not going to run into too many issues where you're dodging snowies down the road. But a lot of times when you're driving, also just keep your eye out to find them perched around in areas. I can't tell you how many times we probably drive past a snowy that's perched out in a field or something, and you can't even notice it on a snow-covered field. It is so well camouflaged that you really have to be looking for them sometimes.
I also heard read a couple suggestions yesterday. It said to turn off your idling engine if you are observing a snowy owl at a distance. And it also said don't slam your car doors shut.
If you go. So your car makes a fantastic blind for viewing snowy owls. So a lot of times if you're along the lake shore, if you're out on, you know, backcountry roads out by the agricultural fields, you know, just kind of slow down a little bit, pull off to the shoulder if you see something, and just view from inside your car. The motion of getting out of the car, the sound of the engine or the slamming the doors is enough to stress them out or disturb them. So really just enjoy the warmth of your car. You know, a lot of times you're viewing these owls, it's not all that pleasant out weather-wise. And that's a great spot to view from. Although we have, over the years, as we go out looking for snowies, have started this question that we always ask when we stop and spot something out in the field, and you have to always go, is that an owl or a plastic bag? Fortunately, a lot of our plastic shopping bags blow all over the place, and you wouldn't believe how closely a white, you know, plastic shopping bag caught on a stalk of corn is going to look like a snowy owl to you when you're out looking.
We're with naturalist Debbie Nowak this hour, talking snowy owls on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you love about the snowy owl? What do you want to know about these owls? Join in or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll be back after a news update. Snowy owls are our winter guests, and like any guest, they are adjusting to their new environment that is a world away from where they nest in the Arctic Circle. Bird experts encourage us to view snowy owls from a distance that doesn't stress the birds or affect the owl's behavior. We're discussing the snowy owls on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you seen a snowy owl? Did it happen out of the blue? Were you sitting and waiting for a sighting? How do you observe snowy owls? 800-642-1234. Debbie Nowak stays with us. She's a naturalist at 1000 Island Environmental Center that's based in Kakana. And you can join in as well. We had Al who emailed us a photo. He says, good morning. Here is a snowy owl that was observed in Arcadia, Wisconsin in early November. We saw it several times within about a week and a half. We're very lucky to be able to see such a beautiful bird. That is from Al, and we have put his picture of that snowy owl that is looking straight into the camera and on Twitter at WPR Mornings where you can see it. So thank you, Al, so much for that photo. Debbie, when you are sighting these owls, you have an opportunity to take a photograph. How should you use that photograph? How should you upload it or send it to eBird, or should you make a note of it?
So if you are able to document a snowy, that, you know, that's fantastic. If nothing else, for your own personal collection to really remember that experience. But if you do sign up for an account on eBird, you can report your sighting and you can actually attach a picture to your sighting. And if we have, you know, decent pictures of these owls, we might even be able to start figuring out if some of these sightings are the same bird, if these sightings are individual birds. So a lot of that data is helpful as well, including the pictures.
What's the current state of snowy owls in general? Are they facing any environmental issues?
Well, they are. You know, because there's so much mystery to these owls, we really don't have a solid idea on population. Some predictions could be, you know, up to maybe 31,000 breeding pairs throughout the world. Some other predictions put it much lower at more like 3,500 breeding pairs throughout the world. So it's definitely a species population that we want to keep an eye on. Some of the threats, of course, other than the human threats that we talked about, you know, the collisions, electrocutions or poisoning, climate change really has a potential to drastically affect these birds as well. As the open tundra warms, there'll be more trees and shrubs that start growing in these areas that were once treeless, can certainly have an effect on suitable breeding sites for the owls. Sometimes there's some of the estimates are talking about even the food source. So in the breeding grounds, lemmings are one of the top prey sources for snowy owls. And with, you know, just a 4 degree centigrade raise in temperature in the Arctic, they're predicting the prey base, the lemmings, might lose 60% of their habitat. So these are definitely serious threats that we have to keep an eye on.
And what tips can you share if someone would encounter an injured snowy owl?
All right. So if you find an injured snowy owl, first thing to do is just to observe it for a little bit. Make sure it does need help. So if you see it trying to fly and one wing is obviously broken, if it is in a very unusual place like a parking lot that doesn't fly away when people or vehicles are around, those are some of those signs. If you just see an owl sitting in one spot for an hour, that may not necessarily represent a need for help. But if you do identify a bird that you're pretty certain needs help, you need to call a licensed wildlife rehabilitator. In the state of Wisconsin here, the DNR does maintain a list of licensed rehabbers on their website. Otherwise, call your local nature center. They usually have contact numbers for you. The thing to remember when you contact a rehabber, though, is these people are working pretty much for just the love of the job. They don't get government funding to operate their centers. They usually have low staff numbers. So be patient as they try to get back to you. Most of the time, they're going to talk you through how to collect that bird or try to get you in touch with people that can help to collect the bird. So it's just a matter of getting that bird collected in a safe way and then transported to that rehabber. But once again, that phone call is going to be your first lifeline.
Debbie, how does a hotspot for seeing snowy owls become a hotspot? Because if they like to have their own space and they're kind of individual people, little, you know, owls, why are they clustered sometimes around the state?
So hotspots, especially on eBird, are areas that are just known to be good for birding and have, you know, good bird observations. Mm. So you might not necessarily generate a hotspot just because there have been five viewings in this one spot. But the reason the hotspots are hotspots is because it has a suitable habitat. It's got enough of a food source. It's got a water source. There's shelter there. There's enough space for it. Your four basic needs out of a habitat. So when you have an area that provides an awesome food source and safety for them, you're going to find sightings there in larger numbers. Once again, it might not necessarily be if you have 20, you know, reportings of a snowy owl at the Kewaunee Harbor, it might not necessarily mean that there are 20 owls there. It might mean that, you know, one owl's been spotted 20 times. But those are going to be those spots to really focus your efforts if you want to get out and find one.
And as we start to wrap up here, Debbie, have you seen any snowy owl sightings recently?
You know, I have not been out to see any myself yet this winter. It's on my list to do over this winter break. But I know there have been a number of them spotted here in the Fox Valley already. So they are out. They're just waiting for me to get out of my office and go explore.
And are you optimistic that we'll continue to see snowy owls here in Wisconsin in the winter's time?
You know, the past 4 or 5 years tells us, you know, it might become a bit of a regular occurrence here. It might not always be in really big numbers like we're hoping for this winter. But I think if you are willing to put the time into it, you should probably be able to find a snowy somewhere throughout the state just about every winter.
Well, Debbie, this has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
We are, and that was Debbie Nowak. She is a naturalist at 1000 Island Environmental Center that is in Kaukauna. And we are crowdsourcing Wisconsin Weekend. Tip us off on something cool that could reach all corners of our state. We'd love to produce a show on it. Send along your ideas for Wisconsin Weekend to mornings@WPR.org. That's mornings@WPR.org. And now we are turning our attention to some more snowy owls in our midst. It is time for some Wisconsin life. It's been a banner year for bird watchers around the state. Thousands of great snowy owls have headed south in recent weeks, showing up in places they've rarely been seen. This has owl watchers out in full force, including former WPR host Veronica Rickert.
I'm not really a bird person. They're okay. I don't mind them or anything. But I have about the same level of passion for them as I do for, say, tractors or Woody Allen movies. All except for owls. Now, owls are something else. Mysterious beings from the shadow side. I've spent hours of my life cruising through state parks at night, windows rolled down, trying to call in a nesting great horned or a barred owl. My mom is my owling buddy, and we've seen some amazing birds together. Last year, we were both knocked out when we spied a rare great gray owl near Poinette, its feathers ruffling in the cold like luxurious Russian sables. This year is extra special because it's a snowy owl eruption year. For some reason, snowies are leaving the Arctic, where they feast on lemmings, and heading farther south in huge numbers. There are reports of them hanging out in farmers' fields along Lake Michigan, or worse, dead, run over by cars in the road. Snowy owls aren't just any owl. They're charismatic, like tigers and orcas. To the Lakota Indians, snowy owls represent the north and the north wind. If you've ever seen one swoop heart-poundingly fast, you'd know why. A few weeks ago, when my mom and I heard that a snowy owl had been spotted hanging out behind a Culver's in Dane County, we couldn't get to the car fast enough. hill where the bird was supposed to be was dotted with other bird watchers, armed with high-tech spotting scopes. These weren't the gray-haired birders swathed in Land's End apparel that I used to see on all those childhood birding trips, though. These were young hip birders in leather bomber jackets with GQ hair. But even with all their high-tech gear, nobody could spot the owl. And after a while, we gave up and began to make our way home. And then, on an ordinary side street, I glanced out the window, and there he was. Right next to the sidewalk, nestled near a tuft of dried-out rushes, swiveling his head and blinking. If I dared, I could have walked up and slid my hand down his silky back, offered him a bit of jerky to chew on, like Harry Potter and Hedwig. We sat for a long time just watching him, mesmerized. I wanted proof before we left that we'd seen him, but just as I raised my camera to take a shot, a giant semi-trailer pulled up right next to the owl and parked, cutting off my view. You're not supposed to get that close to an owl, for one thing. And for another, he'd ruin my shot. So we pulled up right next to the semi-driver and asked him to move on. What for? Said the driver. The owl, we said. Owl? What owl? Some people have no idea. Maybe owls, like life, are what you see. And what you allow yourself to see.
Veronica Rickert goes owling with her mom in southern Wisconsin. Veronica is the former co-host of Wisconsin Public Radio's Central Time that is heard on the Ideas Network weekdays afternoon at 3. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. It is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television. It's in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. You can find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. This hour of the morning show, this Wisconsin Weekend, was produced by Niaja Ellison and Keely Baltina. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to Snowy Owls and so much more here on the Ideas Network. Hope you can stay with us, and thanks for listening.